Take a little walk to the edge of town and go across the track where the viaduct looms like a bird of doom as it shifts and cracks, where secrets lie in the border fires and the humming wise. Yeah, man, you know you're never coming back. Across the square, across the bridge, across the mills, past the stacks. On a gathering storm comes a tall, handsome man in a dusty black coat with a red right hand.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Scaredy Cats, a special Halloween episode. I'm here with Mindy.
Happy Halloween, guys.
Happy Halloween. I'm your other co-host, Daniel, and we're here to bring you the Tommy Jarvis trilogy. Friday the 13th, part 4 through 6, great Halloween fare. Before we get into all that, let's get to some plugs. Make sure to check out the Dirt Sheet Dudes every Wednesday and now Saturday. Wednesday after AEW Dynamite. And I'm not sure what time they're going on Saturday. I got to check with them. But Friday is us, 6:30 p.m. for Unscripted Wrestling. Saturdays, we usually do Unscripted Unlimited around 7 or 8, so make sure to check those out. And, of course, here at 3 p.m., Scaredy Cats. So with all that being said, let's get into it.
All righty. So Daniel loves the Friday the 13th series. Like, he loves it. I don't know why. I don't get the appeal. Both of my brothers actually love it, my older one and Daniel. So I'm going to just go ahead and hand it off to the expert here because he knows a lot more than I do. So here you go.
Okay. Well, this particular – and let me – first of all, let me say why I like Tommy Jarvis. Because – and this is real, though. This is serious because I like Tommy Jarvis because in the world of horror, a lot of the final people – I mean, it's called Final Girl for a reason.
Yeah.
It's usually the end is a deranged madman chasing around a woman. Which is fine, and it's happened a lot in this series, too. And that's a staple of horror, and that's great. But this was, to me, one of the first times, besides, like, maybe The Hitcher, where you have a grown man, and it's not even the – it starts out as a little kid, and then, it you know, you watch him develop and grow into this grown man that's fighting off against Jason. And it makes it a little more action-y, it makes it a little cooler, and the fact that the guy's, like, dealing with all this shit in his head because he's, like, you know, psycho about
it's kind of like the first three Child's Play with Andy and Chucky.
Yeah, I love the story, and I love how they, especially from, Corey Feldman's not my favorite actor in the world, but I think he did a good job as a little kid in a horror movie. And just to kind of play that to the next one, and then Tommy Jarvis could be a bad guy, maybe. But then the third one's like, no, he's not a bad guy. But
he's an idiot.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys. I don't mean to be mean, but when you dig up your childhood serial killer and you stick a metal rod with him in the middle of a thunderstorm, come on now. You cannot be surprised that you brought it back to life.
Now, does Corey Feldman play him throughout the whole series?
No, he just plays him as a little kid because they needed to do like 1, 2, 3, like boom, boom, boom,
oh, okay.
For 3 years. So
yeah,
they couldn't have him.
Tommy Jarvis actually, you know, he has been played by multiple actors. No actor has ever returned to play him except for the guy from the sixth one because he does play him in Don't Hike in the Snow.
That's right.
So, Tom Matthews, put a little respect on his name, damn it. Tom Matthews is out here. But I love the character. And Jason, I don't know, he's always been my favorite serial killer, always my favorite slasher. There's just something about the little kid that drowned, you know, the little special boy that drowned. And then he came back avenging his mother, who avenged him in the first place. And now he's just fucking everybody up. I've just always loved the premise. I find he's got, I mean, now with Halloween Kills, everyone's talking about Michael Myers. But I thought Jason has some of the most unique kills in horror history.
I will have to say, between him and Michael Myers, they are the more unique characters in their respective franchises. I'm not really going to say one's better than the other because I really don't know, honestly. Especially because, little spoiler, you got another Friday the 13th coming out next year.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we haven't seen a trailer drop for it yet. But when we do, I'll let you guys know. I'll probably put it on the website. But so he's coming back. I'd be interested to see what they're going to do. If they make him as badass as Blumhouse just did with Halloween and Halloween Kills.
Yeah.
Then I might have a little bit more respect for him. We'll see.
Yeah, I mean, he also hasn't had, besides the 2009 thing, he really hasn't had a big budget like, where you
but
really
that's
get
also
to see
because
him.
In the 2009 remake, they didn't follow everything the protocol and they got sued.
Yeah, and it was that was a reboot. Mm-hmm. And it was, I don't know, it was all right, but
it wasn't that good. I mean, it was okay.
Yeah.
It was better than the Elm Street reboot.
But to me, these three movies are the best Friday the 13th you're going to get.
Yeah.
Jason Goes to Hell and all that other stuff is fun little gimmicks.
And Jason Takes Manhattan.
Jason, yeah. Which still is fucking stupid because he spends half the movie on a boat, but
I know
he's in Manhattan for like 20 minutes. But this I just like the storytelling in these three movies because you see Tommy start out and he really is Jason's arch nemesis.
Mm-hmm.
If you think of Jason and who would like, you think of Sprint Ghostface, you think of Cindy, you think of Michael, you think of Laurie. Jason's had a lot of different people he's gone after through different movies. But when you think of Jason, you kind of think of Tommy because of these three movies. I thought the first one, the final chapter, it might be the best in the series.
It was definitely really good. I will have to say that.
Yeah.
It was a lot better than I was expecting. And Corey Feldman at the end when he had to deliver and kill Jason, that was really good. I will have to say. He did a really good job for a little kid.
And this isn't bullshit. Jason really dies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they bring him back. But after part six, Jason is undead.
Yeah.
After they bring Jason is undead. He's a zombie after part six, and that's kind of how most people know him now.
Mm-hmm.
But people forget he was just a fucked up kid that's a grown man and it's like with serious strength.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not undead here, and Corey Feldman chops his face off with an axe, right?
Machete,
yes. And the dad from Back to the Future's in this one, so. And his whole storyline is about how he's a dead fuck, so.
Yeah, that's hilarious, actually. I forgot about that.
I mean, these movies really are just kids in the woods getting laid and then getting killed. But there's just something funny and nuanced about them. I really, Tommy's sister, Trish, she survives too. One of the things I regret, well, not regret, but I don't get why they never brought her back in some capacity, the older sister.
Know why they didn't bring Trish back.
I never really got that. Because they killed the mom. I know that.
Yeah, the mom died. But Tommy saved Trish from dying. So she didn't die.
Yeah.
But, I mean, she was also very scarred, it seemed like, from what he did. So it could very well be that she was in, like, a different mental institution than he was.
Right.
Because at that point, their father didn't care about them, and their mother was dead, so they probably both went to different facilities.
Yeah, probably. But what did you think of the part four, Mindy?
I liked that one the best out of the three that we're doing here tonight. I did like that one the best. It was a little newer, honestly. There were times where you didn't even know if it was Jason or not.
Yeah.
Because I will have to say some of the boys next door were really creepy.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it had really good kills. Some really good kills in it. Jason definitely used this environment to his advantage.
Yeah, I think this is the sleeping bag kill, too, which probably the most infamous, the girl sleeping in or wrapped up in a sleeping bag and he picks her up and
yeah.
Hits her on the tree. This made some money with a $2.6 million budget. These are cheap movies, but it made $33 million. So the need for Jason was still there.
Yeah, absolutely. And also, you got to think about this, guys, is that Friday the 13th at first was supposed to be an anthology series, just like Halloween was supposed to be an anthology series. But they screw up, like they screwed up in the fifth one, honestly, by having a different person and not Jason. And then in Halloween, they screwed up by having a different concept and not Michael Myers.
Yeah.
You can't have two movies come out back to back with a badass killer, leave it open, and then be like, all right, well, let's go to a different story.
Yeah.
You can't do that. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't work.
No. It's, I mean, at least part five, like the guy, Roy, he dresses as Jason. So
well, yeah, like he really didn't know until he was dead.
Yeah, like it's a Jason movie without Jason, but it's still like it is a guy in a hockey mask with a machete. Yeah. So it's not like a totally different movie like Halloween 3 was.
Mm-hmm.
But I do agree. I like the one thing that I enjoy about part four is that it did have a source. I don't think it shouldn't have been called the final chapter,
no.
Obviously, because it wasn't.
No, like, you had the final chapter, you had Jason live. It's like, what do you mean lives? He's already alive. What?
Well, Jason was supposed to be gone, though. And this is the backstory. I know you know this, but for listeners, Jason was supposed to be gone.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why they show it, they do a little foreshadowing here. That Tommy could be fucking nuts. Because when he kills him, he's got that look on his face. And when Trish hugs him, the camera pans to him. And he looks fucking creepy.
Mm-hmm.
So Corey Feldman already looks creepy. But then in the new beginning, after they figure everything out, it's this guy Roy, it's the paramedic, oh shit. Tommy, after he kills him, he puts the mask on.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, oh shit, Tommy's the new Jason. And that's what it was supposed to be. But people didn't like that.
Yeah.
Fans were like, fuck that. So that's why they brought Jason back for the sixth one.
Mm-hmm.
And then they rode with Jason. But that was never supposed to be the plan.
No.
The plan was supposed to – Tommy was not supposed to be the hero. He was supposed to become the new villain,
mm-hmm.
Which is a cool concept, but I can see why it wouldn't have worked too.
Yeah, it fell kind of short, unfortunately.
And that's the only thing. And I understand that that's why you kind of had a disconnect with the character because – I think I understand he was kind of an idiot in part six, but I think if he had that tone the whole time, and I think there's a problem with being played by different actors too, but I think if he had that tone the whole time, it would have been fine. But the fact that in part five, he's this fucking angsty, like could knock you out at
any
moment.
He's crazy.
Yeah, he's crazy. And then in part six, he's like an everyman, like this regular Joe that probably works at a mechanic shop, you know?
Except he's in a jumpsuit that says, his mental institution on the back of it.
Oh, in part six? Yeah, but he doesn't seem as creepy personality-wise.
No.
You know? But he, Tom Matthews, he seems like a relatable guy. And it made sense that they picked him for the Undead Jason movie because he would actually start in Night of the Living Dead part two.
Mm-hmm.
So Tom Matthews is done as – he's my favorite Jason. I know he's not yours. But I love part six. It's my favorite movie in the franchise. I like the way they ended it. I like his love interest in the movie. Forgot her name, Megan,
mm-hmm.
And all the things with the sheriff. And I also like, was it part five or part six? I'm getting them mixed up. One of them has actual kids in the thing. Like there's kids at the camp, and that's what makes. And it's even creepier.
That's the sixth one.
Yeah, they don't kill the kids, but the kids are there in the camp.
Mm-hmm.
And the way the sheriff is kind of a dick to Tommy, it's understandable because he just like
they want to forget it.
Yeah, and it's more what like it's not so one dimensional. I think that's why I like the story because it's like this guy seems like a jerk, but he's just protecting these kids too.
Yeah,
like he just wants to make sure everyone's okay.
He just
okay.
wants everyone to forget it all.
Yeah, so he's like he's kind of strict and kind of a jerk, but he's also like a good guy, and you see where he's coming from. So when he dies, you're like, fuck.
Yeah, because the town basically tries to do a, like, Freddy versus Jason thing, like how the parents did with Freddy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, let's let the kids all forget about it. And then if there is one that does remember, let's isolate them and send them away.
Yeah.
And we'll try our best to make sure no one else figures out. But it doesn't work out that way, because why would it? It's a horror movie.
Yeah.
But that's what they try and do. I mean, you even see it in the new Candyman. That's why no one talked about Candyman for a really long time. And they blame the entire incident on Heather Lyle from the first movie. Because, once again, they were trying to make everybody forget. So.
Absolutely.
I will have to say it's an old concept, but it's becoming a little bit newer as time goes on because newer movies are doing it.
And part four and part six are probably the best received movies in the franchise. Now, part five was shit on because of the whole no Jason thing. But part six, actually, we need to thank part six because we might not have Scream for it.
I know.
Because the one thing you can't take away from it is this is one of the first horror movies to have meta humor in it. Because there is when they're on the car and the one girl looks at the guy and it's like, and there's like a dude standing in the middle and she's like, this is something out of a horror movie.
Yeah.
It's one of the first self-aware movies ever.
Yeah.
It's one of the first times characters like recognize like horror movies exist and this shit like happens, mm-hmm. you know? But even, and this was what?
1986.
1986. This is how long before Scream, so.
10 years.
It's changing the game. So we got to give it that at least. I mean, I like to give it credit, but I just, there's something about these movies. There's something about Jason as a whole. Do I think they needed to bring him back? No. But if you would have ended it, the final chapter, I think it would have been fine. But if you're going to, new beginning didn't really make sense. So
no.
Jason lives, like, I understand bringing Jason back.
Yeah.
You shouldn't have killed him in the first place, but I understand bringing him back. And I like the dynamic that the two have against each other.
Yeah.
It's just a dude and another dude going fucking at it. And it's not, because you don't have the final girl circuit at the end, you know? Mm-hmm. It's very different because in part six, Tommy's screaming at him, calling him a pussy and this, come on, dipshit. Call him a bunch of mean words, actually. Trying to get him to come to the fire by the thing so he can push him into it
mm-hmm.
by the lake. And I don't know. It was
definitely a change of pace, especially for the time.
Yeah, it's not just him chasing some chick around, you know?
Yeah. It wasn't as predictable, and there was less sex in it than all the other movies. I'll give it that.
Yeah, there was less. There was definitely less sex in this one. And in A New Beginning, though, there was a lot of fucking. And it was known, the director, Danny Steinman, I'm pretty sure it was him. I don't want to get him wrong with somebody else. But he's known for, I think the cast and crew even said that they thought he was shooting a porno. Because, and one scene in particular, I was watching a behind-the-scenes footage thing, and the one guy was like, there was this one scene, and he's screaming, fucker, fucker, and he's like screaming at the camera, and he's like, grab her tits, grab her, and they're just like, what the hell are we doing here? And so, I mean, that tells you why that movie wasn't that good, but that guy, apparently, he was doing cocaine before the shoot and stuff, so.
That's a real one.
Yeah, and so he really didn't take it seriously. He only was focused on boobies. Boobies and drugs. He didn't really care about plot as much. But I don't know. I think these three still hold up for me. I know you don't have too much on it. Do you got a favorite kill or anything from these? Or
the sleeping bag one.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. I don't want to be, like, generic.
Yeah.
Because I pride myself on not being generic, but yeah, the sleeping bag one was definitely the best.
Understandable. I'm going to have to go to part five, actually. And I'm going to Reggie's brother. I forgot his name. But he's the one that dressed like Michael Jackson in the leather jacket.
Oh, yeah. He's the one that like basically got turned into a fruit roll-up, didn't he?
No, he was the one that got stabbed while taking a shit.
Oh, yeah, that guy.
Because he ordered all this, like, food, pizza, and enchiladas and stuff. And then he's like, I got to hit the can. And then it, like, goes through the porter potty into his
Yeah, I remember that now. Well, I can't remember his name.
I forgot his name too, but it was hilarious.
Yeah.
You want to give these a rating, Mindy, or?
As a whole, I would give it a solid 7.5. They're not bad. They're good for what they are. If you really enjoy the series, then you're going to like these.
Absolutely. I'm giving it a 9.
Of course you are.
Giving it 9 machetes out of probably my favorite trilogy in horror.
Yeah.
I love it. So I'm glad we got to talk about it a little bit. Next time we'll do something we both enjoy so we can get a little more. But, yeah. Friday the 13th, the Tommy Jarvis trilogy. Check it out. And happy Halloween. And also, what are we doing next week?
Well, first, before I say what we're doing next week real quick, guys, head over to Scaredy Cat Facebook page because I'm going to put the trailer up there for the new Scream. It's coming out in January. It's going to be amazing. Also, check out Sci-Fi. They got a Chucky series that is really, really good.
Hell yeah.
It's amazing, actually. I'm a very big fan of it. And, yeah, other than that, what we're going to be doing next week is a British indie horror that I like to call Foxtrot. And it is a whodunit.
Sweet.
And Daniel and Mimi love whodunit. So it'll be a good time.
Yes, it will.
So I'm going to give you all a ca-ca-ca and a happy Halloween.
Happy, yeah, it was a bit of a shorter one. We'll go a little longer next week.
Yeah.
But happy Halloween, everybody, and thank you for your support, and we will see you all next time.
Bye, guys.